there's no guarantee that Colin Kaepernick or Andy Dalton's going to be there in the second round. So if you don't take one and you need one early in the draft, there's no guarantee you're getting who you want later in the draft.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
2014 Cleveland Browns season tickets are on sale now. Secure the best seats at the best prices to cheer on your Cleveland Browns at the newly renovated First Energy Stadium. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 today. And, you know, we're talking 2 weeks away from the second day of the draft. The Browns have three picks on that second day, one in the second round, two in the third rounds. And before we get to the phone lines, we're excited to talk to you guys, 216-578-0850. Reg, I'm going to ask you this. What is your ideal day two for this Cleveland Browns team?
If they get corner at 26 or some variant
of the first
round.
You can set up however you want, right.
Then I'm going to get in that wide receiver. Wide receiver of quality with that 35th pick. If they go reverse, if somehow they were able to get a wide receiver in the first round, I'm probably looking at the corner. Because they're going to come off the board quickly, Nathan. That second round, I think they're going to start flying. You know, we last week, you and I, when you were away, we talked about both Stanley Jean-Baptiste and Keith McGill,
sure.
Two of the Richard Sherman-style,
big
6'3",
sure.
220, press man coverage, physical, come up and support the run great. Those are the type of guys I'd really love to get the Browns to get their hands on one of those two guys with the size as the big want to there.
Yeah, I like that. And for me, and I said it all along, so I'll stick with it, I'm coming out with Teddy Bridgewater with my first pick. I'm coming out with Kyle Fuller or the best corner with my second pick. So that's the premise I'm going
right.
to go with heading into day two.
Yep.
At 35, I want to get a receiver. Now, if a receiver that I loved fell to 26, I could take him there and then I would reverse. But 26-35 is corner wide receiver or
okay.
wide receiver corner
yeah.
for me.
Well, we're along the same vein.
The guy yep. that I'm targeting really right now, 35, given what I've seen and who I think will be there, is Allen Robinson from Penn State, probably my favorite guy from that group
okay.
of that ilk. Then you go into the third round at 71, and this is where I'm looking at getting that guard, getting either a guard or a guard tackle, a guy that you can fill into that line, groom to be a part of that offensive line going forward, the best one on my board there. And then coming after that, with the next pick in the third round, I'm not afraid of going a second corner, even if I've already
That's
taken
fine.
One.
Yep.
I'm not afraid of that, nor am I afraid of looking if we can get a good inside
that linebacker
who
go.
Can cover the field, play in nickel situations, yep. and be that complement slash heir apparent to Carlos Dansby in this defense. That's what I'm looking for. If I were to plug my holes with the five first picks, which would be a quarterback, a corner, a wide receiver, a guard or tackle, offensive lineman, and an inside linebacker, I'd feel great going into the rest of the draft knowing that I had luxuries to take the best players available going forward.
Yep, I like all of that. Guard and inside linebacker have to be a part of this come fourth, fifth round. No question.
Yep. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Tony in Dover, welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
How you doing, fellas?
What's
excellent,
going on,
Tony?
All right, I have to agree with you guys. I think in the second round, I agree. I really want a big physical corner if in the first round they don't go that route. And then in the third round, I agree with inside linebacker, and if he's still on the board, Max Bulla from Michigan State. I know he got banned for the Rose Bowl, but he's a pretty good inside linebacker. I feel he'd be a great fit for the Browns.
I like him as a later value, yep.
Not bad. What about Chris Borland going to go
in
the second round?
I think he's going to go before we have a chance where I want to make that investment on that pick.
If somehow he slides, that'd be somebody I'd look
at. Of course, if he's there at 71, I'm jumping on it right there because I know that the difference probably in my guard tackle from 71 to 83 not going to be all that significant there. Now, I will preface it. If we do not come away with Teddy Bridgewater or at the right position, a guy like John Manziel in the first round, I'm not as into Bortles, not as into Carr. To me, Aaron Murray is the guy that I would want. That would change my second-day strategy significantly. I would probably feel the most comfortable moving up back into the second round for a second round pick, maybe to come after a guy like Murray, or hopefully you can read the tea leaves and know he'll be there for you in the third. Mike in Youngstown with us now. What's up, Mike?
Nothing. I get a big smile. I'm in the car a lot for work, and I get a big smile when you guys come on because
appreciate
you're a show that.
That
makes sense.
Thank
anyway,
you.
I on the first pick as a quarterback, I really can't see the Browns doing it. And if they were to do it, I'm hoping that it would be Bortles. But you know, it depends, like you guys said earlier. They need the best fit available. Obviously, a corner, offensive line, middle linebacker, and I hope they. What's the kid out of Virginia Tech?
Kyle Fuller,
corner. A lot of prognosticators, by the way, have Kyle Fuller going to the Browns at 26.
Yes, and I would be all on
all
board
on
with that.
Right?
I would be into that. Now, it's interesting. We've all kind of hit the same conclusion with the first three picks, quarterback, corner, wide receiver. The interesting thing about that is I think if the Browns stay at four, they don't go necessarily that route first. I think that maybe that's where the lineman is, and then you're going to see some wheeling and dealing to get that quarterback at a later position. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if Theodore falls to 26 like so many mocks have him, I just don't believe it. It would be dance in the streets time.
I don't either. But I don't think he's going to slide that far. But, again, now remember, don't rule out that if this goes possibly according to Hoyle at the top, as we talked about yesterday very quickly, with some combination of Clowney, Robinson, Mack, going 1-2-3, or put a quarterback in there if you like, Bortles or Manziel with the other two. And that don't discount Sammy Watkins at four for the Browns.
Right, and then that you would get your wide receiver there.
There you go.
You just flop things
now
around.
Now you're flopping
there.
Things.
And the reason that I wanted to make that point and bring it up again is in Matt Miller's latest scouting notebook, he calls it, at the Bleacher Report, which was published earlier today, in his notes where he was talking about various things that he is hearing, he said that the Cleveland Browns front office, the consensus that he is hearing is that the first three picks are going to be quarterback, wide receiver, and running back. That is the sense that he is getting on those top picks. Quarterback, what we've been saying. I misspoke.
Yes. Okay.
Quarterback, wide receiver.
Gotcha.
Those three positions that we've been all pretty much hitting on. That's what he thinks he's hearing as well. Jeff in Cleveland, you're on Cleveland Browns Daily with Nathan Zagura and Michael Regei.
Hey, guys. I've been going back and forth with you guys on Twitter today and you guys were listening to me, especially telling me I'm all hype, and I think that's what's wrong with me. I'm all hype. I want Manziel back.
I love your passion, Jeff.
I like the passion.
That's why I was going back and forth with you, man. I love your passion, maybe.
Hey, Mike, I see you at the station sometimes, and Nathan, you used to come and do the fantasy football with us.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
My whole point with you, Nathan, when you said you like Bridgewater beat one team good, Florida, and that was 2 years ago. So that's why I don't want him, because he didn't beat anybody. And then this year, this is what I need you guys to help me out with. The reason why I don't want to go with Sammy Watkins at four is because I think we have to get the quarterback, and I think Manziel's the guy. But here's my problem. I want one at 25th. But why would I want – I wanted Marquise Lee, but I doubt he would be there. But with us signing the two receivers in free agency, does that mean we really aren't as concerned with receiver, or we do definitely still want one?
Oh, no, I don't feel that way at all. Nate Burleson kind of fell in their laps after an injury-plagued season with the Detroit Lions, but it was a get that they felt for 1 year, Nathan, that it was very much worth the opportunity and possible reward to take him. Yeah, you got Andrew Hawkins in the slot, but I believe that I'll be very surprised if one of those firsts, we talk about 4-26-35, isn't a wide out. And I'm like you, Allen Robinson, Jordan Matthews a possibility, and I'll even throw big Kelvin Benjamin for Florida State raw, as a route runner, but a big-time red zone guy.
Oh, my goodness.
And can go up and get the football at 6'5", 235, raw. You develop them, you work with them. I think one of those three could be Cleveland Browns.
Andrew Hawkins was brought in to replace Devon Bess in the slot,
right,
not an outside receiver. Nate Burleson is a guy that is going to help as much on the field as he is off the field, I believe. He was brought in as much for his leadership, his tutelage of this young wide receiving group, as he is for what he's going to provide on the field. Can he be solid? Yes. This was a guy over the first four games last year before he got hurt that was averaging six catches, almost 79 yards a game for Detroit. He can still play, but they want to bring in another big-time outside wide receiver, I think of the size of a Matthews, of a Robinson, of a Benjamin, a big guy, because we don't like to talk about it, and you all know from listening to the show, I don't even like to mention it, but you have to have something in place where the unthinkable and unspeakable to happen. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
I'll leave it at that.
Let that go.
That's that. But I think that that's one of the reasons why it is going to be a priority to get one there, not to mention the fact that adding another dynamic big target to this offense will continue to provide the quarterback, whether it be Brian Hoyer or the one drafted, with the weapons to give the Browns
right.
one of the better offenses in the National
yeah.
Football League.
And it's part of the reason I think why they'll still, we mentioned it yesterday, although he tremendous numbers and volume, Brandon Cooks, I don't think the same thing we talked about with our man out of Baylor 2 years ago. I'm glad they didn't draft him, Mr.
Kendall
Wright.
Wright.
Kendall Wright, yeah, playing with Tennessee. I the Browns are going to go big. When they go wide receiver, I firmly believe it's going to be big. It's going to be that 6'2" physical, high point, uses body to ward off DBs, that sort of receiver. I believe that's what they've got earmarked. And there, we just named three. There are more than that.
Right, there's Cody Latimer, there's
That's
Dante
four.
Moncrief,
there's five.
Fit that same bill. Jarvis Landry, maybe
yep.
not physically
yeah.
as big,
but
tough.
That kind of
tough
receiver.
And that kind of tough
So there's
receiver.
A half dozen right there.
Yes, they will have the option to do that. And don't forget, in Kyle Shanahan's offense, having a big number two who can block is critically
Gotta
important.
Have it.
He's always needed it, wanted it, and when his offense is at its best, he has it. So that is something certainly to keep an eye on there. One last call before we get Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal in here. Sean in Medina, welcome to CBD.
Thanks, fellas. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday
Same to you,
as
Sean.
Well.
So I'm going at four, I'm going Sammy Watkins. At 26, I'm going Teddy Bridgewater. At 35, I'm actually going to go surprise you guys and go Carlos Hyde. And then with the last two in the third round, I'm going to take a cornerback, one of the guys you mentioned. And then I'm
Baptiste
taking,
or Keith McGill
or Pierre DeCease.
Yes, exactly,
or Pierre
yes.
DeCease, yeah. One of the three
then,
bigger corners?
Yes.
Okay.
And then and with the 72nd pick, I'm taking the right tackle out of Michigan, Michael Schofield.
I'll tell you what, you had me moonwalking at 4-26. If there was a Watkins, if there is a Watkins Bridgewater scenario, I would be as happy as I could be. I'm going
to
disagree with
you,
though.
And keep
you
down.
Would. I don't. We'd both be floating around. It wouldn't matter. To me, when you go ahead and make that investment at 35. In a running back like Carlos Hyde, I don't see it. You just brought Ben Tate in there. This running back class is deep in the sense that there are a lot of guys that are similar that you'll be able to get, I believe, third, fourth round even to be able
there
to supplant and provide that backup and that insurance and that future plan alongside Ben Tate. I don't think you need to draft a running back before the fourth round, and you'll be very happy with who you end up with if you wait
you
that
like
long.
You like Lake Seastrunk? For a fourth-round guy?
As an athletic guy,
yeah.
yeah. And I'm not afraid to jump in at the end of the third and get – I love Charles Sims from West Virginia.
Yeah.
A lot of Matt Forte
oh,
to his
yeah.
game.
Yeah.
Can run it, catch it. So there are a lot of options. And to me, Carlos Hyde, he's not even my favorite, to be honest, of the pure runners. I'd
okay.
rather have Hill from LSU.
What about
and
you?
I'd rather have my boy from Towson that we were talking about yesterday.
Terrence West is
at a
sweet.
Later, at a cheaper price
What
tag.
About Kadeem Carey, fourth round?
For this offense, I like it because
one
he's
cut,
a one-cut runner.
One-cut runner.
He doesn't do anything that is spectacular.
No.
And I'll throw out an interesting factoid for you guys.
Finds
Arian
the end
Foster
zone. Gets
finds,
in the end zone a lot.
Yes,
I
yes.
love that.
Arian Foster and Alfred Morris, two guys who have been incredibly successful in this zone-blocking scheme. Similar combine numbers, nothing that jumps off the page at you, 4.6, 4.7-ish in the 40, yet they are decisive, powerful runners who get what is blocked and then some.
In
and Carey does it in this
perfect.
System. I like Carey
perfect.
For this system.
Yeah, me
Agreed.
Too. Me too. Fourth round possibilities. A lot of people say he might be third,
yeah.
but go. Hey, man, listen, that's a type of runner, as we just pointed out, that could thrive with Ben Tate in Kyle Shanahan's zone block scheme.
Couldn't agree more. All right, we got to take a break. Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal will be with us next here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.